Hey, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us on Indie Film Cafe on Podbean. This is going to be the first official one we're doing on Podbean, but I think I'm also going to be uploading the first episode. This is the second episode, and this is actually the second recording of it because we tried doing it before, and unfortunately, I don't want to get into to everything that happened, but fortunately, it got erased, and
no!
So, yeah. So unfortunately, it did not work out. But we're gonna do it again, and hopefully we'll have some even better insights since this is the second time viewing it. So
Sasquatch.
Anyway, I'm the host Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with
Paul A. Presenza, known as the Moo Cow Moo,
and I'm with
Just Jen.
All right. So we'll all right. So we're going to be talking about a movie. We're going to go right into it after you listen to this awesome music. All right, and we're back. All right, so we watched Suburban Sasquatch.
Again.
Twice. thankfully we will not have to do it three times is a charm, but
that's right.
The second is just as good. And so anyway, this is Dave Waskovich's, first film, I believe.
2004
film. And, you can definitely tell that it's his first film.
Yeah, yes,
pretty much.
Definitely.
And you know what I loved about it the most is that, like, you could tell, like, family and friends really, really, really tried to help him with this movie. And try being the, in quotation right there.
And sort of helped do everything, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I guess let's go right into, like, the story. How would you describe it, Paul?
All right. So, basically what we've got is a large furry critter running amok. And there is this, I guess, Native American female warrior who has been sent by her tribe, air quotes, to deal with this large furry person, creature, before he causes more havoc in the neighborhood and knocks the bones out of other people. So, yes. And then there's this pesky reporter who needs to report on the truth, and he gets involved, and there's Sad Cop and Fat Cop. As Jen has named them. And there's a whole bunch of stuff. And let's not forget poor Muffy.
Poor Muffy.
Mm. Well, we'll talk specifics. But, yeah, that's kind of the generic outline of it. Kind of a broad outline. But I do want to address that. First of all, you know, it's called Suburban Sasquatch. But most of it takes place in the woods. You know,
right.
I would say.
Well-manicured woods.
Though. Well-manicured.
Very, very manicured.
So it should
woods.
Have been really semi-suburban Sasquatch.
Semi-suburban Sasquatch. Sort of suburban Sasquatch.
Vaguely neighborhood Sasquatch.
You're right. And like, and because, I mean, he does go out into like the neighborhood and everything, mm-hmm. which, I mean, that's literally what I thought the movie was going to be.
Right.
Like, I thought the movie was going to be this town that's taken over by Sasquatch, and really it is, but it's not.
No, not really.
I guess when I had in my head of what I would imagine what a suburban Sasquatch is and not what Dave could afford, maybe, I don't know, because that's the thing too.
Maybe we're just not seeing his vision.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he should have probably titled it something else, maybe. I don't know.
Well, the thing is that it's not so really much about the Sasquatch as it is about Tala and Rick the reporter dealing with the Sasquatch, really.
Tala is the Native American lady.
And
who slaps your thigh an awful lot.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, Squeaky?
Hey, that's only brought out for continuity. Talk.
Continuity, monkey!
All right. So, anyway, we are... so, we watched this for the second time, and I actually thought that I wasn't going to enjoyed as much the second time, because I think this is one of those films that is a lot of fun, like, the first time viewing it, but actually it's just as much fun. I mean, I could probably watch this movie even No, I couldn't. I couldn't watch this by myself. I don't know.
15 times it's like a movie?
Do you watch this movie by yourself, Paul?
I don't want to talk about the things I do by myself. I have. The first time I saw it, I certainly did. But when I saw its special qualities, I had to show this to everybody I ever met in my entire life.
Those poor people.
I show it to everyone. This is one of those movies.
We're the poor people, too.
That's right.
But
show, inflict, you know, it's the same word.
Right. I enjoyed it a lot. Look, see, the movie's actually playing right now on mute, and we see Dave Weskovich fishing with his buddy, and some of the scenes are just so flat out weird. Let me go into that the fishing bit. Like, there's a scene where they see the Sasquatch, and he just kind of just out of nowhere rips the guy's heart out, and the guy's obviously not dead. Mm-hmm. You know, right? And then the Sasquatch goes and knocks the guy into the creek.
Wait, you're jumping ahead, though.
Right.
He rips the heart out of one of the fishermen while his buddy stands and stares.
Well,
he doesn't help. He doesn't run away. He stares until he gets hit in the chest with a foot.
Let's be honest. He doesn't really tear the heart out. He tears the red sort of stained rags out of him and then stuffs it in the guy's mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget that part.
Now, the fisherman was named something else. Like, they actually had names, I believe. And then the guy later on wakes up inside the creek, wakes up
face down.
Like somehow
there's the rag
survived
in
on that
the face.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Notice it's raining. There goes the arm.
Okay.
Look at the boobs.
They can't
on
see
thing.
This. They can't see it. We can't describe things they can't see. That's not fair.
True.
So let's not do that. But so he like comes up down. Then he wakes up face down. Wakes up. Comes out and says, he was like, "Dave." Calls Dave. Instead of the person's name or whatever, the fisherman's name, mm-hmm. That they originally, I guess, used his name as. So, I mean, I don't know. It was odd. It was a strange movie, but I actually really kind of enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. But for a second, can we please talk about the suit?
Oh.
Just for a second.
Or the tape on the...
We know you love the suit.
Yeah, I love the suit. I love the suit.
Mm-hmm.
It's purple. There are some large pendulous breasts for the man, female.
Paper mache,
think so.
Mm-hmm.
The gloves are black, and I'm not sure we actually get a clear shot of the feet, because every time we see the feet, it's covered up by that CGI.
No, we get to see the feet later.
Yeah. We get to see the big fake foot, the one that doesn't really articulate.
He runs, and you can see the feet.
Yeah, they're the giant slippers.
Yeah,
the
giant
that's
slippers.
Right, the slippers.
Yes.
There are the slippers.
Yep.
We see them from behind.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw them in the front. They looked, they looked pretty decent, but I think that there were times where they couldn't, they forgot the feet or something. Like, they were like, Jimmy, you forgot the feet. And then, so they had to, like, CGI feet or something.
Well, I think probably what happened is that when they were shooting it, they didn't notice at the time that either something else could be seen or maybe there was a cuff visible or something, and they really didn't have any other option. Because I guess they couldn't reshoot it to cover it up as best they could post-production, and that's probably what happened.
Maybe. I guess Dave would be the only one who knows.
Or it's a continuity error.
Continuity monkey. All right. Just so for people who don't realize, Paul has a monkey that squeaks. And any time we talk about continuity or say the word continuity, it's going
to
squeak.
Continuity monkey, he's got a lot to say, especially in a movie like this. So here we are. Now we are at the grammar school that is passing for Rick's work. He's supposed to be working on a newspaper, but it's clearly a grammar school. And can we talk for a second a little bit about Evil Ron Jeremy?
Go right ahead.
Yes, he really does look like the famous hedgehog.
But tell him who he is hair. So like people know like what this character is.
He's the boss. I guess he's either the editor or the owner, somebody who owns or deals with the paper. But all he does is just rip poor Rick a new one.
Yeah. The most encouraging boss in the world.
And he, all he believes in, because he has no belief, he doesn't want beliefs.
Doesn't want
he
beliefs.
Just wants
sales.
Sales. I'm like, what? I mean, you can't have sales without a story. And you can't, you know what I mean? Like, you can't just get sales. You know, you have to have a story. So
well,
you
he's
have,
an evil guy, so right. It has to be sales.
I don't even know. Is he evil? He's just...
Well, heartless, I would
say. Yeah, I guess not evil. And,
he's just mean, but crotchety, whatever. But he's not an evil person. It's not like he's the mastermind behind the... That would have been an interesting twist.
Yes, it would have been.
Now, that should have been the twist, is like the guy who's running the paper is really
the
one controlling
his
ass
watch.
That's the sequel I want to see.
Dave, there's your sequel. Come on, give it to us.
All right. But no, but like... I don't know. He was okay. He wasn't but the scenes with the it's obviously a school's like I don't know what classroom it
but
is.
But there are kids in the background.
There's
you can see running
kids
around.
Who like playing soccer in the background.
Recess going on. Maybe that's when they could film.
That's
during
probably
recess.
When they could. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. And I know we think at least one other set was probably the guidance counselor's office. We were thinking.
Yeah, so it's like...
stuff on the walls that kids...
Right, and that was supposed to be the police department.
Yeah,
right.
But their handmade sign on the wall.
Yes.
Maybe grandma did it.
That's
maybe
true.
Grandma. Maybe that grandma did it.
Yes.
We meet grandma. We'll talk about grandma in a little bit. She's a whole character.
There are
her own.
So many interesting characters, mm-hmm. little bits of characters that are floating around.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about... The fat cop and the
sad cop.
Oh yeah.
Which I feel bad. Don't like we're not making fun of the cop's weight or anything like
did
that.
Even
that's
get
not
names.
I don't remember
I don't
them.
Think there
I mean, there is probably
I've seen
in the
this
credits, but
15 times at least. I don't remember the name.
See
one is
name
John.
In the
I know that much.
Oh, John. Okay.
Remember. That much I remember, but I don't think I remember.
But that was the
name.
That was the sad cop, right? Was
no, the big guy is John.
Oh, big guy. Is
oh,
John.
From the flashback.
Because remember in the car, the infamous car scene where he's throwing the car. John, he's coming to get me. John, help me, John.
Oh my God.
Okay.
So yeah,
sad cop and John.
Right, sad cop and John.
I like Sad Cop the best.
Yeah,
he's pretty interesting.
He was a character.
And don't forget
himself.
Timmy.
All right, so there's Timmy and the mom as well.
That's right.
And Timmy is a a soccer playing kid, though I don't think he's never played soccer in his life.
No, he kicks the ball all of about 2 inches.
Yeah, and then Sasquatch comes and he yells at his mom, like, you know, there's a monster out there. And then she says the best line.
Oh,
I've
she
ever
does.
Heard.
It's great.
She has the best line in the whole thing, which is. The monsters aren't real. They're just like Santa Claus or your father.
Oh, they're not they're really
just,
there.
They're not really there. That's the
that
best
was awesome.
Line of the whole movie. I love
that
line.
And then kicks her terrified son back outside while she dusts her hallway? Entryway?
I don't know.
Because
what
that was. 5 inches of wall
you
there?
You can't clean 5 inches of wall while the child's there.
No.
But
especially
it's okay.
A terrified child.
She turns into a mama bear as soon as the... the Sasquatch comes out, though, and she gets that broom.
Why didn't she just send him to his room?
Well,
he doesn't obviously want to be out there. Why?
Because there's probably a monster in the closet there.
Or under the bed.
Or under,
or
the,
under
bed.
The bed.
Maybe she had to clean it.
Evil dust bunnies.
Eventually you have to clean it.
Oh, God.
This is the same. So we're looking. Oh, my God. We're watching the movie.
There's the wallpaper again.
Stop. Let's not
we're
watch.
Characters.
Yeah, we're on to characters. So we talked about Timmy.
So,
let's talk
mom,
about Muffy. Muffy and the
oh,
owner.
Oh, yeah.
The
well, owner. So at one point, I guess there is a dog owner who owns Muffy. He's walking through the neighborhood calling out for Muffy because Muffy's a little scamp and ran off. And unfortunately for poor Muffy, Muffy encounters the suburban Sasquatch and ends in a truly horrible, horrible way. And just as the owner's coming through the hedge and he sees him, he goes, Muffy, no! It's just perfectly done. Perfectly shot.
I mean, this is 2004, right?
Yes.
I think Revenge of the Sith came out in 2005, right? The Star Wars movie? Yeah. And Darth Vader had that, no. I wonder if George Lucas, you know.
Well,
that.
There you go. Could it be ripping off Dave Waskovich there? Possibly.
For some reason, I don't see it, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I'll tell you, I had more fun with this movie than I did with those Star Wars remakes. Those are pretty bland, as far as I'm concerned.
So, anyway.
But anyway, poor mom ends up getting et along with other folks. And, yeah. You know, he's got quite an appetite. You know, he usually has a bunch of drumsticks, you know, arms and legs, various kills that he has back in
lots of limbs that go flying. Right. The people here, their bodies are very delicate because he just pulls and just pops legs and arms
and
off.
And he keeps them back in his little cave made out of tarps.
It never makes any sense why the Sasquatch kidnaps some people but then kills others.
Oh, yeah. And not only just kills, he just destroys them. He slaps the bones out of some people, other people who like to stomp on their skulls until they explode. He's not a very nice Sasquatch.
Rips the head off of one.
That's right. He does.
Mm-hmm. He's
although, at one point I know a body's on the ground and then it vanishes the next time you see it. Continuity monkey.
All right. Another one is the... hunters. Wonderful hunters in the movie.
Not the fishers, but the hunters.
Don't we meet Hot Dog Lady?
Oh, yeah, we meet Hot Dog Lady.
Okay. Oh, Hot Dog Lady. That's right.
Hot Dog Lady.
So, that's right. So, Hot Dog Lady and Mary Wiskovich are in the car driving around. I guess they're going to buy some real estate, and they've got some presents in the back of the car.
Well, they're visiting the new... development where Hot Dog Lady has purchased a home or a lot
that's right.
There.
So it's the destruction of the Sasquatch's habitat that possibly is engendering all this.
And then gets lost in the development that she is going to be living
that's
in.
Right. And Suburban Sasquatch comes zooming by on a skateboard and scares the bejesus out of them, and then they panic.
They don't know if it's Sasquatch or a deer.
Or deer,
people
that's right.
Issues with determining which is which. In the
That's
movie.
True. There's a lot of mistaken deer in this film.
Dear God.
Dear God. That's right. So they panic, and then the Sasquatch jumps on top of the car and starts to reach for them and breaks through the sunroof, and they have an accident and get out, and then I think Hot Dog Lady gets kidney punched. And then Mary Wiskovich gets picked up like a sack of potatoes and dragged off to the tarp cave of death.
Once again, another thing, like they bring the ladies in there, and then like eventually one lady disappears because I guess they can't have room for three ladies, you know, or whatever.
There's not enough tarps.
Only so big.
That's right. Yeah.
They don't have room. So either the thing's like, oops, I got to eat this one now, or it's in another part
but what
of
was,
the cave
what
that we
was
don't see.
Really great about that scene was the juxtaposition of Hot Dog Lady eating her hot dog while at the same time Suburban Sasquatch is munching on his arms and legs and feet.
I even told you while I was watching it, wondering if that meant that she was controlling the Sasquatch, you know, because they're eating at the same time, you know.
Right.
Just wondering if she had some kind of mind control on the Sasquatch. But then again, then she probably would have used that in her to her offense.
Get away.
To her defense, yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. Not very many of the victims really try very hard to get away.
That's true. They kind of just stand there.
That's right. They can't see this. But
and before the hunters too, there's also two girls, like sisters.
Oh, that's right. The hikers.
Mm-hmm. Hikers. They're just hiking around. Yeah. So we're gonna get to the hunters now. They're an interesting thing in itself. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, there's two hikers that, and both of them, because what reminded me of that is like the fact that they just stood there. Like, oh my God,
right.
What am I going to do?
They also thought he was a deer.
That's right. Is that a deer? Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it's just as the first couple in the beginning of the movie did.
Yes.
Yep. So, yeah, there's a lot of characters that apparently think everybody is a deer or something.
Well, they know it's an animal, and so...
Right, and it's a woodsy area, you figure there's deer.
They say bear, too.
That's right,
They do say bear, but they only say bear when they're talking about somebody getting killed.
Yeah.
You know, when it's
they
just
see
like
something, it's a deer, but if someone they're talking is about like, getting killed, it's a bear.
Right.
Though it would be interesting if they're like, oh, it was just a deer that killed these people.
Now that would be awesome. Suburban deer hoof. Oh, and it's a big deer going around and slaughtering everybody
You're
with a
just coming with, up with an idea.
Oh, that'd be great. Oh, hey, I am idea man, I tell you.
But yeah, so it was those two hikers were interesting. But then we get to the hunters.
Oh, yeah. So, at one point, I guess they figure out that the you know, John and Sad Cop can't really handle this on
their
own.
Because there's only two of them. Entire big suburban development. And they show lots of aerial views, so we know it's a large place.
Right, right. So only two of them, so yep, they need some backup. They need some help. So Sad Cop gets on his phone and he says, "Okay, Zeke, we're going to call the boys." And all of a sudden...
Was it John? John, was that his name?
That's the lead cop.
So he calls him. Oh, he calls Zeke up.
Zeke.
Yeah, that's the one that got.
Zeke and the boys show up. So that's the hunters.
Zeke and the boys.
And they have a wide variety of firearms, which they try to shoot the Sasquatch with. And
they all sound the same. Did you notice that? I did.
Mm. They also have like this like 4-inch net that suddenly becomes an animated version of itself.
Oh my God!
The net.
Yeah. The electric net or something. Like, it was, like, moving around and stuff. And
shifting around. And
which I believe, I mean, there's no commentary, so I have no proof of anything, but I believe Dave was editing because he did the special effects himself and everything, which you can kind of tell. But there's, like, this, like, the net, he probably, that was the only one he could find, you know, and everything. Mm-hmm. Which is so funny because they actually have a real net that he has.
That's
like,
right.
He actually takes the net off. I'm like, does it just not look good or something? Or did they like...
Well, I think at least for the CGI part, I guess he wanted to show movement or something in the net. I don't know. That can happen
with a real net.
Like, it can.
And it looks more real than this like thing going...
Maybe he was showing...
more real than CGI.
That's what I would imagine.
He's showing off his CGI skills. That's what's going on.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, so that was... That was interesting, and so the posse comes.
Now the cops don't come and help the posse.
No,
either.
They don't.
They send them out on their own,
and they're on the phone with them too, or something. I think.
Yeah, they're
right?
listening to it on the radio.
They're listening to it on the radio, and of course, they're listening to their friends get killed, and they're just sitting there, like,
shaking their head sadly.
Yeah.
Well, and that brings up the other point. The reason why the posse can't do anything is because the Sasquatch is a magical beast and can only be killed if you get the Native American warrior chick to shoot him in the heart or the special spot.
Oh, that doesn't get explained till the end of the movie.
True, true.
You know, how would anybody know that? Like, the guy, you know, I don't even think the girl knew that until, like, because I think literally there is a part where she's like, she sees her like, oh my God, you have to shoot him in the heart.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, she just figured this out, you know?
After she shot him several times, missed several times, got kidnapped once.
Yeah, she
threw axes at him.
She is the worst warrior that we've ever seen.
I know, but she tried. I kind of felt bad for her. I said, I've mentioned several times, she had an awful lot of dialogue that she had to spout out. And there's a lot of bickering. That's the other thing. A lot of bickering between the two main characters.
That's his thing. He noticed a lot of bickering throughout the whole movie.
Bickering is used as ketchup when you don't have a lot of story and you need to fill it up. It's filler.
I do want to also mention, because there was a character that we forgot earlier that was in the beginning of it, made no sense to the rest of the movie, and that was my buddy David Sippin's character, who is this, he's this businessman.
Real estate guy.
He's another guy that makes Rick feel bad.
Right, he makes, everybody's
that's
just
why he doesn't
being,
get any dates.
I know. Yeah. That's what he says. He says, that's why you don't get any dates. I'm like, what?
It's the same failure with women, Rick. And Rick just takes it.
Yeah. And Rick's just like, yeah, it's true.
True.
He's kind of whiny.
I know.
Rick is very strong.
And hey, to be fair, my buddy Bill Ushler is the one who plays Rick, and he does as well as he can with the character that he's given.
Right.
Mm-hmm. His character is whiny, but you know, that's not, I don't think that's, you know, as an actor, it's not his fault. He did that to a T.
Right.
But that was the thing. And so there's that scene between them, and it just felt so awkward. Like, and then the guy leaves and leaves a full glass of beer. Like, no, I mean, I'm not saying in an, you know, alcoholic way or something that's, oh my God, I can't believe it. But I'm like saying, like, still, who does that?
It looks like he just sat down, he hoarded a beer. He does take one sip from it.
One sip.
He berates his friend well, then leaves.
It almost, and that's kind of the main issue I have with it, is because it's really an unnecessary scene.
So yeah.
What exactly is it adding to the film other than we're taking Rick's character and shitting on him again, like all the other characters do? It doesn't really advance the plot in any other way.
All right, so can we talk about the grandma?
Oh yeah, grandma. Now let's be careful. That's Dave Moskovich's mother, I believe.
Oh well, I'm just
Same one in Fungicide.
Hey, you
she
know,
she seems like a delightful lady.
She does,
but she also seems like you like her character is just a little cuckoo.
A little cuckoo.
A little cuckoo. She's and that makes it an interesting thing. But like their conversation, I felt like they were both like reading from different scripts or something.
Right,
like
I
their
know.
Conversation makes no sense. They'll be talking. He'll say something to her, and then she'll be like, "Yes, honey, that's why God hates you," or something like that. Like something ridiculous.
I really would love to ask her why that stuffed bear is on the mantelpiece. That's just every time I see that scene, I see it, and it's just why is it there? Also, she could have run a little bit from the Sasquatch. Could have. And speaking of strange characters, let's not forget the saddest party in the world.
Saddest party in the world.
Yeah.
So there's this
elderly
lady sitting in her slippers and nightgown, knitting while...
No, she's doing cross-stitching.
She's cross-stitching. Sorry.
In her typical old lady bathrobe. Didn't she have curlers?
She had curlers. Yep.
And old lady slippers. She is an old lady.
Meanwhile, there is this gentleman whose relation I have no idea. Listening to some kind of weird punk music, sort of slowly, like,
dancing.
With
I don't
a beer.
Think that's what he was actually listening to. I think, like, they put that in there or whatever. I don't
know.
Afterwards.
So I think this is something those two characters do on a nightly basis.
You think Dave was just like, let's just put this
sad.
In there?
I think so. But they end up being more possible victims of Suburban Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the best scenes where she's screaming that the monster is there, and he goes to the door where you can
see
Sasquatch
the
and welcomes him in.
Absolutely.
You're just showing hospitality.
It's like, hi, overgrown man in an ape suit.
Can I interest you in the Suburban Sasquatch Watchtower?
Well, let me just say too that I was just thinking about that it was a Sasquatch is played by like four different people, probably four different heights,
and a chair, or a step stool,
and a chair.
Like yeah, so there's some people that are like sitting on a chair, but Sasquatch sometimes grows.
Right, it's an inconsistent. Yeah. Inconsistent height, because when he's killing the car mechanic, he's way the heck up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We need to talk about the car mechanic.
Oh, I haven't talked about the car mechanic. That's right.
Car mechanic.
That's when Sasquatch breaks out his magical smoke machine.
That's his funk.
Yes.
Everybody talks about
they
the
do
smell.
Talk about that.
They can smell him, and one guy can
taste his presence.
Oh, my God.
That was John. Well, remember, let's talk a little bit about John for a second. So,
okay.
John, I guess, had his encounter with Suburban Sasquatch previously with his wife back in the West Coast, and they sort of do this flashback scene where Suburban Sasquatch pops up and takes his wife, Celia, I think the name was, and he's like, no, and he tries to shoot it, and Sasquatch just bitch slaps him and runs off with Celia. And I guess that's where he talks about having to have to come to a new place and start over where there was no crime and no evil and no badness and you know, no...
But apparently it follows him.
No pudding cups. That's right.
Because the
Sasquatch
is...
It's the sexy goatee, clearly.
That goatee or the tribal tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. So, So...
Yeah, apparently, and then like, okay, we didn't mention this, but I'm just seeing it now, so I am going to talk about it for a second. That apparently he picks up the arrow, right?
Yes,
with the
and
jewel.
That's where he
Rick
goes.
Rick the reporter picks it up.
Yeah, Rick the reporter. I have to like specify.
Yeah, I was like,
yes,
wait.
Nobody would know that. So he picks up the arrow and doesn't know what it is, and that's when he takes it to his grandma.
Right.
Right. who tells her, I think she says, what does she say exactly to him? Because she says something like,
It seems odd to me.
Like, it seems odd to me that there would be a, like, okay, like.
With
that,
a green plastic jewel hot glued to the end.
Thanks, right. Grandma.
Yes.
Your insight is amazing.
Weird, and you need to go back to where you found it.
Right.
And then ask God for help or something. That was one part I never understood. Is like, ask God for help. And then I was expecting, because he got a call. And I was like, is God calling him? That was going to be awesome. But no, it was his buddy.
Sound right. Call.
The one who gives him the tips on showing up to see the dead bodies.
Yep.
But we talk a little bit about some of the special effects. Because some of the special effects are very, very special.
Are very special.
Special in quotes. Okay.
Yes. So I guess we could start from the beginning. Initially, when the very first scene happens and there's a couple bickering in a car, because of course lots of bickering, and they're driving.
There's lots of cars.
They're driving very slow, mm-hmm. very slow. And I'm assuming that the cameraman is sort of just outside watching them and keeping pace. And yes,
they're supposed to be joyriding.
Right. And Bigfoot, he just kind of blips by like boom.
Well,
he's a magical beast. He can move very quickly. And then he ends up, that's the first time you get to see the special effect where he's smacking the bones out of people. I don't know why that happened. Literally.
No, literally. Yeah. Smacking them. Just
yeah. And bones come
and
flying.
Legs go flying off.
And the fake blood that's come spouting out.
CGI fake blood, not just.
And there's an awful lot of that.
Yes.
So there's that. And then there's, of course, the infamous car scene where Bigfoot picks up the car to throw it. And it's very clearly not the car.
Oh, it doesn't even. I just rewatched it and it stayed still.
Right.
Like, it literally, like, was still there in the next cut, so.
Right.
It was just, like,
and the thing
weird.
Is, I understand the director's desire to make this monster seem very powerful and threatening and everything, but the problem is if you don't really have the budget to do that, it just makes, it just really undermines the creature. It makes it look very silly.
Right.
Which, you know, that could very well have been the whole point of that scene. I hope so. But, so the special effects are definitely an issue. The CGI birds.
Special effects.
That's right. Yeah. CGI crows.
CGI crows. Talk about the crows. I love the crows in it. Like,
it's their Birdemic moment.
I know, but, like, I think they're better than Birdemic.
They are better than Birdemic.
Because they don't bomb people. Like, Birdemic bombs people and stuff like
that. Well, not only
that,
the Birdemic
birds,
they just hang in your face and go, "Rah."
You barely see the actual birds up in the sky, so that makes it a lot better.
These birds at least move naturally.
Right, and then, like, there's even this scene where the bird, I mean, spoilers alert or whatever, but, like, at the end of the movie, the bird comes, like,
flying
straight.
In the camera.
I think this whole thing was spoiler. Spoiler alert, sorry.
Yeah, you missed your chance.
But the bird flies toward the screen, and you can actually see it, and it looks decent.
It does.
Like, I was very, like, that. If you're going to end a movie, they should end that movie a long time ago with that.
Right.
Like,
right.
That ending. Like, that
but, you know,
awesome.
There are other times when the CGI does not look good. You know, when Bigfoot is picking up a boulder. And I don't know why they even needs to have a boulder, and he throws the boulder. Clearly, it's a fake boulder.
Yeah.
And they
and
vanish.
And he's in the middle of a neighborhood, and for some reason, he's throwing boulders at a house in the
right.
neighborhood.
It's strange. And then the arrows are all clearly CGI.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't want to risk shooting or hurting anybody.
Well, the way she was holding the bow and arrow.
Yeah.
She lost a finger.
Oops.
Too.
Wow.
After that.
Somebody might have got hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll shoot your eye out. But, so there are a number of special effects issues that clearly undermine the movie,
right.
aside from the suit.
In your favorite, I had CGI feet.
Yes. There are a number of times where, again...
We talked about it earlier.
Yeah, so they had to cover it up as best they could.
But it's still, I mean, it looked okay, you know, it wasn't, like, for a movie that was shot on a clearly, like, $300, you know, and maybe even less, because back... You know, it was only, like, what, 10, 13 years ago.
When it came out, who knows when it was shot. It was probably shot before that.
Yeah. So maybe it was shot for 14, 15 years ago or something. You know, I mean, $300 then, you know, would be probably $400. You know, now.
Well, it's clearly a micro-budget film.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I love this kind of stuff. It was very entertaining.
I love
showing this movie to everyone. It's a lot of fun.
If you have not seen Suburban Sasquatch, why are you listening to this? And go watch Suburban Sasquatch, then come back.
Clearly.
And listen to us. Mm. A little late in saying that, but because we're almost done with the podcast. But, you know, that's what I'm trying to say. Is basically, this movie is, if you enjoy, like, CGI, really bad CGI, really kind of
stilted dialogue.
characters that obviously they're not romantically attracted to each other. At least one of them isn't.
There's an awful lot of bickering.
Well, there's a scene where they look like they're about to kiss, and I'm like, really?
Well, until the CGI bird saves them.
Yeah. She very clearly looks over like, do I have to do this? I have to do this. Okay.
Because like, honestly, they bicker so much, it's almost like they are like a married couple, you know.
Very true.
Already. After just meeting each other, they start arguing. I was wondering why he would argue with her instead of just going, you know what, I don't believe this, I'm leaving. You know, that's what being a normal person.
Well, he whines about staying, and then she's like,
Why
don't you leave? And then he whines about leaving. And then she whines about working together.
There's a lot of whining.
I wanted to smack him.
That's
quite
right.
A few times.
Well, yeah, and that's just it. I mean,
and he never changes his shirt.
Yeah, I think that character needed further thought.
Okay, so let's bring that back, because you brought up a very interesting point. He never changes his shirt, which in the beginning of the movie, he wakes up, he's shirtless. He's shirtless a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's clearly
got
the sex appeal
of the movie. Got hair going. And he goes up and he says, he gets the phone call, goes up, and he goes into his hamper and pulls out. Mm-hmm. And he's only got, like, a mattress for a bed. Like, not even a bed. And that's the whole like, apartment is just one room.
It's pretty sad. It's a
bedroom.
Yeah, it's just a bedroom.
Just a bedroom.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty small.
Clearly,
like,
life has not been good to poor Rick up until this point.
Yeah.
Well, his editor told us he is a loser.
Yes. Every character's told us that.
Many characters. And he doesn't seem to get it. but then he picks up the shirt that he's going to wear, and he wears it through the whole thing. This is like, I don't know how many days. This cannot be the only day. Because it feels like there's... obviously it goes also from day to night to day again, which is a very common occurrence in, you know, like Plan 9 from Outer Space had that, and
a lot
tons
of films.
Bad movies have it. It's a
continuity.
But yeah, so, and that's not, like, after a while that gets to be like, people kind of like expect that sometimes these days, kind of these kind of movies. But, you know, it didn't have to be, I guess.
Well, like I said, generally when you're talking about movies in Hollywood and ones that have an actual large budget, you pay somebody who is your continuity person, and that's their job, is to make sure that everything is supposed to be put back where it's supposed to be and that everything is consistent.
Night is night and day is day.
Day is day and all that. But, you know, in a micro-budget production, you're not going to have that. You're going to have... you know, a small handful of people who are going to do everything for you, from props to acting to cooking to special effects to everything, anything and everything that they can do. Mm-hmm. So you can't cover a giant slice of bread with a little tiny bit of butter. You know, you just do the best you can, and that's where a lot of the charm of these movies come from.
Oh, I know. I agree. I totally agree. I think that's the beauty of these kind of things, is that the films are, you know, like you expect things like chewing of a hot dog and then the chewing of the Sasquatch chewing, you know, like you expect it to be like so odd and weird and kind of different.
And that's the thing. A scene like that isn't really dependent so much on money as in this was the director's choice to show this juxtaposition. Why? What was he trying to say? That's the part I don't quite get, at least for that scene and several others.
I don't think he was trying to say anything. Like, I don't think he was...
Maybe yeah. Viciousness of Bigfoot, which is... One thing I thought was kind of weird is I had never heard... Now, I'm new to the genre of movies, but I've never really heard of, like, Sasquatch being put in such a negative light. Like, this creature that's going to attack or have magical powers.
Well, the magical... Well, no,
the magical powers is, like, a different thing. That's yes. This movie.
But, yeah, like, attacking people blood.
Sasquatch does... I mean, unless you are referring to movies like Harry and the Hendersons.
But, which I loved as a child, but no.
I love that movie, too. It's one of my favorites. I have it on Blu-ray.
There are entire movies based around Sasquatch getting all kinds of frisky with people. And doing weird stuff, which we can talk in another podcast another time.
But
the portfolio of this Sasquatch is definitely expanded than your standard Sasquatch movie.
And, you know, there's other movies, like there's the movie Sasquatch or Sasquatch Hunters, which are about Sasquatch being in the woods and he hunts people because, you know, they're in his woods and he wants to eat, you know, and stuff like that. That makes total sense. Now, suburban Sasquatch, from what I gathered, and I said earlier, I just imagined he was like, there was nothing to eat in the freaking woods anymore, so I'm gonna go hunt people in the
He couldn't find a steak bush.
Right.
He only found the one.
Yeah,
and there's no deer there.
Oh, and he only had one Muffy.
Oh, you only had one Muffy. Poor Muffy.
I know.
Poor puppet Muffy.
But, you know, that is true, though. I don't believe the Sasquatch was you know, enjoying, quote-unquote, the female victims in any other way. I think he was just killing them and eating them.
Right. Oh, no, there was no Sasquatch rape or anything.
Right, there was no sex squatch going on.
No, there's none of that. You can see all that in Bigfoot Wars, I believe. You know, that was...
And other things.
And other movies. But this movie was a... I mean, honestly, I would say other than the violence, like if they cut down and toned down the violence, this would be like a more PG-13 kind of movie because I don't even think they really curse that much in this movie.
No,
and stuff.
Not really.
There's no nudity or sex, I mean, which makes total sense for independent films like this where there's no, there's not enough money to like pay like... actors, you know, or whatever.
Right.
So you pay your friends to come out, and then you're like, you can't be like, hey, Susie, go get naked. You know, right?
Sure!
It's a little awkward afterwards.
Hey, right? Like, unless they are a person who's done, like, nude modeling or something, and they feel comfortable. But most of the time, they're just your friends who you're like, hey, let's put you in a movie, and, you know, I've had that as a filmmaker, and I understand that from this, so... I was just surprised because, you know, this type of movie does usually have nudity or something, and it didn't. And that's kind of a refreshing thing.
I got to be honest and say I was a little tiny bit disappointed when I initially saw this where there wasn't any, but that's okay.
Would
I
you
can
have
live
wanted to see from all the actors?
There's one or two.
All right.
Instead, we get Rick. Shirtless.
That's
yeah,
right.
We get Rick shirtless.
That's
and,
right.
Well, you got the boobs on the... Sasquatch.
That's
so.
True.
That's
very,
true.
Very prodigious knockers.
We got some Sasquatch boobies.
My goodness, they are massive. And they're natural. They're all natural.
Artificial, really, because you had to make
it. Oh, gosh, there's that awful log again.
Oh, yeah. And the visual, to go back to the visual effects stuff, there was the log that we just talked about, but there's also the boulders.
Oh, yeah, the boulders.
Where do the boulders come from? Right. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's Sasquatch's boulders. He just...
Oh, Sasquatch's boulders.
No. That's right.
From his cave.
From his tarp cave.
His tarp cave.
With the folds.
You never see any boulders in the cave, but there's boulders out in the, you know, it's like, wait, you can make boulders come out of there that are random, but you can't even put them in their tarp cave. Like, what in the world is going on?
And there were lots of legs and arms and hands floating around.
All right.
Too.
So let's wrap this up. It's, you know, we've talked a good amount for it. And I think we got a lot of, all right. So, before we ask, like, is there any last, like, you know, stuff that we want to say, how many hooves do you give it?
Out of five, I'd say 5 out of 5 hooves.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How many thumbs up, or how many stars?
Well, I've only got two thumbs right now.
And they're opposable.
How many stars would you give it?
Well, like I said, I'm new to the genre. This is my first foray into this. So I'm gonna put this as my number three. Number three stars. So that I have, you know, after, basically all the movies I see after this will be compared to this, for better or for worse.
I don't remember what I gave it the last time, but I'm going to give it a 4. Mainly because it's the second time viewing it, and it still was good. Like, it was decent.
You said last time that you would probably never see it again.
Right?
Yeah. But I do agree. It was still enjoyable the second time because you could concentrate on other things.
At least my 15th time, and I'm telling you what, you find little nuggets every time you see this again.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those films that you can watch more than once.
Absolutely.
I was wrong.
little nuggets of joy you find in this every time you see it.
But I enjoyed it thoroughly because I think what makes the movie good is it has a lot of heart.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know, the heart's in the right place. And you can tell Dave really actually cares about the film.
And so, not only can you, I think, get it on Amazon, I believe you can go to Troubled Moon's website and order it straight from Dave, as I recall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do Dave a favor, go to his website, pick up his movie, and enjoy.
Is it on still, like, TroubledMoonFilms.com or
something? I believe so.
All right, cool. So check out Trouble. You know, that was the funniest thing when we saw is Trouble Moon. Like, that already gives you kind of a bad feeling about this. And there was some moons in it. So there you go.
That's right.
I'm wondering if that is I haven't seen Fungicide in a while.
Oh, Fungicide. I can't wait for Fungicide.
We're gonna rewatch that at some point.
So wonderful.
And do a Indie Film Cafe.
And I'm gonna get my hands on Tartarus and we can have the Dave Waskovich trilogy.
All right. Who's already wanting to watch this again? It was a couple of weeks, and I rewatched this. But geez, all right, we'll talk about that eventually.
There we go.
I can't say I wouldn't enjoy it because
it'll be awesome. I promise you.
Sounds good. Well, thank you guys so much. This should be airing. Well, I guess tomorrow, which you won't know, is going to be today, which is Monday. But I'm going to try to upload the first one first, and then upload the second one second.
There you go. Makes sense.
All right, I
got
it.
No continuity monkey for you.
And but I think I'm gonna like do it like right after each other. So upload one and then upload the second one. So they'll get a double feature, you know, thing that they can check out the first two episodes. And then next month we'll be back. I'm not sure what date we'll be back, but it's gonna be in January. We'll be doing Ski Wolf. Chris Seaver's Ski Wolf.
Yay!
So, perfect thing to watch kind of during the winter-ish time. So,
Winter-ish.
Because it'll technically be winter by January, so hopefully.
You should hope so.
Yeah. Well, who knows? It the freaking weather in Virginia is insane, so I don't know where, you know, anywhere else, but Virginia's got some insane weather lately.
So, Jen, what are your thoughts on your first foray into the micro-budget world?
No, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, good. And you like doing the podcast thing?
Yeah, I suppose I might have to come back.
Yay!
No, the movie was a lot of fun. I enjoy the cheesiness of it.
Yeah.
Especially you come in knowing that it's fun.
Yeah, it's not meant to be taken seriously. If this movie was meant to be taken seriously. I don't know, though, because a lot of these films, the people thought they were doing and that's what makes it fun, is that people gave their heart. They thought this was going to be a good movie, and then it came out like this, and that's not bad at all, because, you know, at least it's watchable.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Yeah, it's and not I'd, boring.
I'd I'll still rather watch a movie like this than to watch half of the movies that Hollywood puts out.
Well, yeah, I mean, some movies are, and even in the low-budget realm, some are just boring, you know,
that's right.
And stuff.
Cardinal sin of movie-making is to be boring, and this movie mm-hmm. is not boring.
So what did you think watching it the second time around?
Oh, I loved it. And I loved seeing all the reactions that you guys have. And, yeah, it's
oh,
great.
Dear.
Coming up with the funny stuff.
I'll watch it again. I'm ready.
He wants to watch it tonight. You would, wouldn't you?
Sure.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, Squeaky.
All right. So, well, thank you guys so much for listening today. Please tune back in with us next month as we do Ski Wolf. And he's never seen it, and she's never seen it. I'm the only one who has. So, once again, it'll be another one where two people haven't seen it and one person has.
But I have seen Chris Seaver movies. Oh, yes.
Sex Squatch.
So I have a pretty good idea what to expect.
Oh, yeah.
But this is your first. Oh, great.
Well, all these movies will basically be new to me.
I'm pretty
sure. All these names,
Until we do, like, The Room or...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you've seen that. Well, you've seen the riff tracks of that. So you haven't actually seen the movie.
Right, you're
yet.
Not a complete newbie. No. You've got some background in this.
Yeah. So you're not a newbie in the realm of fun trash cinema. Like this is just fun cinema. This is not, you know, these films are not meant to be taken to be like Oscar winning material, you know.
Yeah.
Though the way the Oscars are heading these days, never mind. I'm not going to say my true thoughts on that, but
it's a different podcast.
Yeah, that's a whole different podcast, and I'll probably get in trouble. But thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Tune in next week. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.